So we were holding in the story of Natan de Tzitzita, the way Rav Nissim Gaon records it in Sefer Maasiot. And now this married woman, whose husband was incarcerated, has finally conceded. She comes into Natan's home, and she tells him, Natan, I want you to think about your Creator. I want you to think about what life means. And in her speech, she really teaches us a lot, because in life, we are faced with challenges. You know, if a person would think before he clicks on the button in the internet, if he'd think about his Creator for a minute, the challenge there is much smaller than the challenge that Natan had. He was bedridden. He was thinking day and night of only one thing. He wanted her. And there's this concept that Netivot Shalom writes, that part of what happens when a person is focused on the physical is that we have tzimtzum. Our line of vision narrows. And a person who's into the material world is very focused. He wants that. And suddenly a person who, for example, wants a new iPhone, came out with a new iPhone this month. No? Six? Something? No?
Eight, ten?
I don't know, whatever. So if someone really wants that, so he's going to get up in the middle of the night and he'll go and stand in line, and he'll stand in line in the cold, only to find out that they're sold out, right? But why? Why is that so important? More important than sleeping in bed, more important than being with your family. When a person is focused on the physical, their line of vision narrows. Part of what the Torah gives us is a broad scope. We look at the world from a broader scope. That gives us a healthier approach. And so when things are difficult, we have a broader scope. When things work out, we have a broader scope. And so what she's trying to do, this lady, is she's trying to convince Natan to get perspective. And what happens when a person is very into his Yetzer Hara is that he doesn't have perspective. All he sees is that. His eyes get real big. And that's what a person sees. And it's as though nothing else exists. But in fact, everything else exists. A minute before, a minute after, everything else exists. And afterwards, you know, a person's going to have to answer up for what they've done. And so she gives him this moving speech. And Natan climbs off of his bed. And he starts approaching her. And then he sits down. And he puts his head down. And he starts thinking about what she said. And he's thinking. And he's thinking. And then he starts crying. And he says to her, okay, go. I'm sending them to give you the money. And you go. And she says to him, Kol hakavod to you. You know, it's an amazing thing what you just did. And she takes the money that he's given her. And she goes to her husband. And she frees him from prison. And her husband says, I can't believe you did that. And she says, what did I do? And he says, you're my wife. How did you go be intimate with another man? And she says, I wasn't. He gave me the money without it. And he says, no way. Everyone knows how badly he wanted you. And she says, but it's the truth. Nothing happened there. And he says, you lie. And from that day onward, their marriage is on the rocks. She's freed him from prison. And she's gotten the money he asked for. And she didn't do anything wrong. On the contrary. But he doesn't believe her. And now, day after day, she has to contend with his claims. You were not faithful to me. And one day, Natan is riding on a horse outside Rabbi Akiva's Beis Medrash. And Rabbi Akiva looks outside and he says, who's that man? And they tell him, that's Natan. He said, which Natan? They say, that's the Natan with the woman. That's the whole story. And he says, that Natan's a holy man, very holy man. I see light shining from him. It's like there's a pillar of light coming from him. Rabbi Akiva runs out of the Beis Medrash and he runs out to Natan and he says, Natan, tell me, what's your story? I see you're so holy. And Natan tells him the whole story. And Rabbi Akiva says, you have such holiness, you have potential. Come into yeshiva and learn. And Rabbi Akiva grabs him into Beis Medrash and he starts teaching him Torah. And he became the great Natan de Tzitzita. He got the nickname Natan, who has the shining light. That's what Rav Nissim Gaon quotes. And only after that story with Rabbi Akiva was the husband willing to believe the story that his wife had told him all along, that nothing ever happened improper between her and Natan. The only problem we have is that the Talmud here quoted Natan de Tzutzita as being of the generation of Rav Yosef, which is 2 centuries later. And we have the story of Natan de Tzutzita being in the generation of Rabbi Akiva. So that, we have to understand what's going on here, whether there's a different version in the story in the Rav Nisim Gon. Was it supposed to be Rav Yosef there? Or was it supposed to be Rabbi Akiva here? Or were there two people who got this nickname, Natan de Tzutzita? Because if so, then why? What's this guy's story? Like, why did he get the nickname Natan with the light? So, and over here, it certainly sounds like he was a sinner, because it says he was a big Baal Tshuva, which the Gemara had just elaborated on explaining that Baal Tshuva is someone who has something to do Tshuva for. So that needs work. I don't know what the answer to that is.